We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
All right. Joining us right now, kind of on the fly, is Sheriff Chuck Wright of Spartanburg. And we have asked him to come on to talk about... Good morning. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning.
What is going on right now? A beautiful 11-year-old boy killed by an intoxicated driver, at least an individual now charged with felony death by DUI. You visited this young man in the hospital before he died. Tell me about that.
Well, I've known the Rubenzer family since that young man and his family moved from Wisconsin to Spartanburg, and I went to church with him. He was just a special little fellow. He was wise beyond his years. He was very inquisitive and always had a big smile, big heart. I mean, he just loved people. So, last Friday at 7:16, it's Michael Eugene Kelly, who has 10 charges pending. 10 was out on bond, and he decided to drive at high rates of speed on Highway 9 at 7:16 in the morning. High on marijuana, and hit Patty and Ethan, and killed Ethan. I mean, you know, it's frustrating enough that he's out on bond. And I looked over his history. The only thing that they were mad at him for is because he broke the probation agreement. So he goes and spends some time for breaking the probation, not possession with intent to distribute near a school, and not trafficking, you know, marijuana, cocaine, and meth. None of that. The only thing that got him was he broke his, you know, he didn't do what they told him. So,
Now, this 11-year-old young man, Ethan, you visited him in the hospital before he died, and this was just so moving to me. His big dream was to work for you.
Yeah, he was, he'd always say, I want to be just like you. And I'd say, please set your sights higher. And he would just smile and hug on me, and he's really just one of those kids. If you was around him a little while, if you were feeling bad, he could kind of pick up on it, and he'd always come over and go, what's the matter? What can I do to help you? You know, just a good kid. But I deputized him because, he was my pal. I wanted him to be honored in that way, and, you know, it was fun. It was fun because... The last time I saw Ethan Rubenzer, I changed churches.
Yeah.
And he came up to me at the school he attended and hugged me around my waist for a long time. He said, I miss you, Mr. Chuck. And I was like, man, you can't do that out in public. I'm going to start crying, man. I said, I miss you back.
Oh. So you deputized him in the hospital when he was fighting for his life, Sheriff. Unfortunately, he has lost that battle, which is heartbreaking.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. You know, Ethan was one of those kids, I don't know many 11-year-olds, to think about organ donations and stuff like that. I mean, that's just not on the minds, you know. You normally get asked that question when you get your license. Do you want to be an organ donor? And this kid was 11, and I think his grandmother is a living donor. She donated a kidney to somebody, and he's like, well, that's just pretty awesome. So he made sure to tell his mom and dad he wanted to give his body away if it would help somebody else live. And that's exactly what happened. Some guy or girl in Wisconsin, where he's originally from, that young boy's heart went right back home. And we hope that everything's successful with that family, too, and they get a new heart and life is going to be good for them. But Ethan lives on.
Well, there is still something that we can do for Ethan, who was killed by a guy who is now charged with DUI in his death. There is a hearing tomorrow. The guy was already out on bond on his various drug and weapons charges. He broke that bond when he committed this crime, or is accused of committing this crime. That hearing is tomorrow, Sheriff. Are you going to be there? Or are you going to? What can we do? I don't want this guy out on bond. I don't want him on the road.
Yeah, I don't either. Yes, I'm going to be there, and a lot of other people are going to be there. And you know, I don't know how many people the court can seat, but I got a good feeling we're going to fill most of it up. And strangely enough, Saturday was one of his first bond hearings, so a lot of people came down. I went down Saturday and was going to protest the bond, obviously, and speak against it. And his attorney told him that I was out in the lobby going to protest this, and they said, well, we'll just waive it till Friday. I said, well, I'm not going away either. So, you know, I want to remind you of something. I've spoke with the family, and we don't hate the guy that did this. We just hate what he did. And this goes back, I've been piggybacking off of that, because this medical marijuana they're trying to shove up our nose is absolutely not the right thing to do for our people. We're going to have more of these, just like Colorado and California and all those other places that allow you to have 2 ounces, which you can roll 60 marijuana cigarettes out of 2 ounces. And you know, that's just a lot. You can call it hemp, you can call it medical marijuana, you can call it what you want to, but they're going to be high. I don't really care how you look at it. Now, I'm not opposed to medical marijuana that the FDA regulates. I'm not. But I am opposed to having people make up excuses to get, just like they did the opioids. You know, the opioid crisis is not over. Now they want to compound the problem with marijuana. It's just not good for our state.
Well, Chuck Wright, I'm glad that you will be there tomorrow, and I have asked the judges and the solicitors, please do not revoke this guy's bond. I mean, he's already had his license revoked for prior DUI. He did not pay the fines when he got caught driving. I mean, there's a total disregard here. I mean, I'm looking at, just in Spartanburg County, a record on this guy that is longer than my arm, single-spaced. And he, you know, again, he's still facing the drug and weapons charges from 2018. It's not a person who needs to be back on the road. It's just absolutely not a person who needs to be back on the road. So I'm glad, Sheriff Chuck Wright, that you will be there and that you will be packing that courtroom tomorrow, you know, with a simple message. Do not revoke, you know, do not let this guy, you know, back out. We need to revoke his bond and keep him right where he is.
Yeah, you know, I'm sad, too, that our system, you know, you have to have something like this to get people's attention. This could have been avoided. Maybe somebody else would have done that. I don't know. But I don't think this guy would have if this court system hadn't done their job in the first place.
It's tremendously frustrating. For those of you just tuning in, we're talking about a beautiful 11-year-old boy by the name of Ethan, who you knew before this, killed by a man now charged with felony DUI and resulting in a fatality. And he died in the hospital after 3 days fighting for his life. This is ridiculous. This guy does not need to walk out of the jail. So I hope that you are successful in shining a light on this, because, you know, I believe this, Chuck Wright. People are texting me saying, well, you know, you shouldn't try to influence a judge. Listen, I think judges and prosecutors and defense attorneys, I think the court is influenced every day by politics.
I don't care what they say, Ms. Tara. I'm not concerned what they say. I'm the one that had to go to the hospital and watch an 11-year-old that should have been in school or going to his Boy Scout. And now I've got to watch his mom and dad go through, and all of us who love that family go through all this. So you don't influence the judge. Things really not bothering me.
Good. Good. Well, thank you, Sheriff. And I hope that you will report back on what's going on in this case. And I hope this guy does not get to get out of jail before he goes to prison for what he did.
I do, too. Thank you. I will let you know.
Okay. Awesome. Keep us posted. And a wonderful thing you did to deputize him, the child, before he died. What a cool idea. Thank you, Sheriff Chuck Wright. It is ridiculous, by the way. And thank you, Sheriff, for joining us. It's ridiculous that I have to preempt my show. I have to stop my show to get the judges and the prosecutors in the upstate to do the right thing. I don't like having to do that. I'd rather have y'all do the right thing when I'm not looking, but I'm putting you on notice. We are watching. Don't let, make this really simple for you. Don't let Michael Eugene Kelly out on bond. You have every legal right and precedent you need to keep him where he is. He has already violated the current bond he was out on when he killed Ethan. Don't let him out. You got it? Capiche? I don't want to make you famous, but I will. This is so unfair. Okay, maybe not. I couldn't resist this because it makes me laugh. Well, the kids are in school now, right? Okay. So we're going to open up the adult segment, the adult portion of the Tara Show. Headline: women would rather eat takeout than have relations with their partners on Valentine's night. Wait a minute. This is so unfair if you're a man, right? You were expected, we had a study on this earlier, you were expected to spend twice on her what she is expected to spend on you. And apparently she just wants to go out for a good meal. And then she didn't want anything else to do with you. Ah, to be a man. Yeah, I guess you're supposed to, what, go off and deal with your toxic masculinity? Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, survey asked women what they would like. They'd rather eat takeout than have sex. For men, it's the opposite. They said they would like a drink, a meal, and a little bit of action. Men and women. Oh, boy. All right, anyway. By the way, men, regardless of how this how the evening ends up, you're still expected to pay twice what she does, spend twice what she does on Valentine's. Texter writes, thank you, Chuck Wright. He's the Spartanburg County Sheriff. Thank you, Chuck Wright. Our law enforcement officers statewide do a great job. However, the judges need to be held accountable. If these guys are incarcerated, some of these tragedies would not have occurred. Yeah, and I'm Chuck Wright is essentially doing what I am advocating. We want to be peaceful. We want to be polite. We want to be as polite and mannerly as our mothers have taught us and would expect us to be. But we also have First Amendment rights. And it's okay to put judges on the spot. It's okay to have the presence in the courtroom tomorrow morning for the bond hearing for Michael Eugene Kelly that Chuck Wright is proposing. It's okay for me to publish the judges' names if they let this intoxicated driver out on bond after killing an 11-year-old. They're not immune from public criticism. They are public servants. They should be criticized when they mess up. And if you don't like it, get another job. So good for Chuck Wright for holding this guy responsible. By the way, there is a drunk driving reduction effort right now at the State House. And it would add ignition interlock devices after the first DUI. Right now, you get a grace period. You got to do two before you have to put the interlock device on. Or you have to blow 0.15 or greater. That's twice the legal limit. That's not good enough. The interlock law that we already have, this is according to the state newspaper, so it might be true. The interlock law that we already have, that's for two-time drunk drivers. At that point, you shouldn't even have a license. Like, ever. You just have a disregard for human life. You can't learn. You're a slow learner. We don't have time for you to catch up. You ought to never be able to drive legally again. Take the bus. I don't care. It's your problem. The proposed law, which has cut drunk driving deaths by 15% in states that have passed it, is slowly advancing in the House and the Senate. It's because all these DUI attorneys that also double as legislators haven't figured out how to stop it yet. Believe me, they're trying. There has rarely been legislation more important to saving lives, said Representative Eddie Talent. Okay, I want you to understand what the irony of this legislation is, okay? The proposed law, which has cut drunk driving deaths by 15% in the states, every one of those persons is a family not shattered. Do you know why we have to do this again? Because the geniuses on the Judiciary Committee, who are increasingly earning my ire every day, they had Emma's Law. Emma's Law would have put ignition devices, you have to blow into it to start the car, on everybody's car who's been convicted of drunk driving. And they stripped it and they said, no, it's got to be, you got to blow twice the legal limit or be convicted twice. They stripped it and watered it down. So think about this. It says right here, the proposed law has cut drunk driving deaths by 15% in other states. In other words, for the last 5 years, we could have had 15% less drunk driving deaths. But the geniuses on the Judiciary Committee at the legislature stripped this out. So now we're back again 5 years after Emma's Law. Emma was a beautiful little girl, 5 years old. I mean, she's actually absolutely gorgeous. It's a shame her parents didn't get to see what she grew into. Killed in the van by a drunk driver on her way to church. Broad daylight. So we're back again to get the rest of Emma's Law. By the way, for those of you texting me, I don't want an ignition interlock device. It doesn't work anyway. Yes, it does. The devices we've already installed have stopped nearly 2,000 drunk driving attempts in South Carolina in 2017 alone. Now we just need to apply them after first-time DUIs. And you know what? We need to apply them once you have been charged. We don't need to wait till you get convicted, because a lot of these drunk drivers takes 2 years to convict them. They kill somebody else in the meantime. We need not to keep putting up with it. Folks, we are routinely number one or number two for drunk driving fatalities in the nation per capita in the state. That is not acceptable. Not acceptable. All right, let's jump on with Mark in Spartanburg. Hey, Mark.
Good morning, Taryn. So I was just going to bring something to light, maybe, that I'm sure y'all have looked at and thought of before. But I had a friend that got a DUI recently. And a lot, it after 2 years, it was dismissed and revoked down to reckless driving. And a lot of that reason was because the police officer on the scene recorded information, recorded the field sobriety tests and everything improperly,
yeah.
As well as once he got back to the sheriff's department, he recorded DUI improperly. So it's not always back onto the court system. Maybe the highway patrol needs ongoing and continuing training, which I'm sure that they do have. But on that point, it was just didn't know if y'all had thought of it from that standpoint.
Yeah, and I appreciate your phone call, Mark. We have covered this in the past. And part of the problem there is again, not the law enforcement. But the fact that this has been widely covered in our media, but the fact that the laws here are, it is so difficult to document a DUI. I mean, literally, if somebody's foot is left out of the video footage, got cut off in the video footage, it's not even relevant to whether they're drunk or not. You're supposed to, record their breathalyzer test. They could be thrown out, even though they blew twice the legal limit on the breathalyzer test. I mean, the fact that the laws have been written this way, again, this is your Judiciary Committee. Stacked with lawyers, all of them who either own law firms or are partners in major law firms. They write these laws to make it easy for them to make money by getting drunk drivers off. So I'm not going to jump and blame law enforcement for this. I'm going to blame the legislators who wrote these laws. But when you have a case in court where a guy has already violated the bond he is out on for selling drugs near a school, improper possession of weapons, dealer quantity of drugs. He's out on bond, and he violates that bond by being arrested for felony DUI for killing an 11-year-old. I'm not putting that on the police. I'm not. The judges do not have to revoke his bond. They have every reason to leave him right where he is in the jail. Like, they do not have to bond him back out. He has already blown the bond he was on. They got this dead to rights. There is no reason to let him out. I'm just asking, don't let him out. Don't do it. Don't make me make you famous. It's good to see that Sheriff Chuck Wright has this covered, too. He says he is going to pack that courtroom tomorrow morning to make sure that the prosecutors and the judges clearly get the message, don't let him out. Killing an 11-year-old is not acceptable. Not when you're driving in an intoxicated state. All right, I want to get to this real quick because you need to know about this. This is exactly what I predicted the day after the gay marriage ruling. Well, I was beside myself, freaking out, not over the gay marriage part, but by the new right that was created by Justice Kennedy, who wrote the opinion. And Jonathan Turley, a liberal law professor, nailed this at the time. And I knew exactly what they would do with it. And I predicted it and was dead on. Justice Kennedy, in addition to legalizing gay marriage, putting it on par with heterosexual marriage, all that stuff, he created something called the right to self-identity. It had really nothing to do with gay marriage. He just waved a wand and there it was. The right to self-identity. And Jonathan Turley, the law professor, warned in an editorial, the right to self-identity would compete with the First Amendment. That this was a very scary thing. We've already seen the right to self-identity used. This is why states like New York can threaten to take your business license if you don't use the preferred gender pronoun of one of your customers. Right to self-identity. He said it would remain to be seen through Supreme Court decisions whether the right to self-identity would trump the First Amendment or the other way around. Okay, fast forward to today. This is how they're using the right to self-identity. I knew this would come. I predicted that what they would do was eventually work up to their ultimate goal. If you are a child and you are a liberal and your parents don't want to go along with it, you can have yourself removed from your parents' custody because they are not liberal enough. That is the ultimate end goal. That's where this is going, what I'm about to tell you about. LGBT is a headline in a Federalist. LGBT activist teaching judges to yank kids from parents who won't transgender them. Who won't agree to permanent alterations in their children's bodies, like surgery before they're 18, hormone blockers to prevent puberty, all of that kind of stuff. Dr. Michelle Critella, executive director of the American College of Pediatrics, she's a doctor. We are already seeing this, she says, the first two waves of this strategy. The first wave began in 2016 in the divorce and custody setting. And what would happen was that judges began removing parental rights from parents who refused transgender treatment. And I put that in parentheses. In each of the seven cases, the guardian ad litems and judges, she's referring to seven separate cases here, removed the right to medical consent or custody from the parent who objected to the transition, puberty blockers, and hormones. Okay, that's first wave. Second wave is going on right now in schools, emergency rooms, therapists, that kind of thing. Doctors are reporting parents to Child Protective Services who refuse to affirm their child's gender choices. Two sets of parents she's currently dealing with were accused of being abusive parents for refusing to consent to hormone treatments for their teen. In one case, the parents sought treatment for the son's suicidal depression. He's adopted, came from an abusive family, had a long history of depression and anxiety, had never mentioned gender dysphoria before. But he told an emergency room physician that he felt like he was born in the wrong body. Parents refused the hormone blockers he suddenly said he wanted. And guess what? Now they're in trouble with the law. It was the first time the 14-year-old boy had ever said such a thing. His parents have had to fight the hospital in court for months against allegations of being abusive and unsupportive parents. The family, by the way, finally found a therapist who helped them set boundaries with their son, and his complaints of being trapped in the wrong body have stopped. Thank God they didn't do anything permanent. Even with the outcome, attorneys told the parents they could not sue because experts would side with the ER physician who was following the standard of care guidelines. Now, here's what you need to know. They've changed the standard of care guidelines. The standard of care from the American Academy of Pediatrics used to be wait and see. Okay, the kid says was born in a boy's body, but he thinks he's a girl. He wants to, you know, chop some stuff off. Wait and see. He's a minor. Let's see if he grows out of it. They changed the standard of care to that the parents and the providers must be gender affirming. You woke up on Tuesday, decided you were a girl. Let's start the hormone blockers. Let's chop off the boobs and be on our way. That's pretty permanent. It's a huge decision for a minor to make. Well, because the American Academy of Pediatrics has just changed the standard of care, that makes you a negligent parent if you don't go along. See where this is going? Where are they going to go with this? Let me tell you where they're going to go with it. The next step with this is going to be if you have a gay or lesbian child and you want to attend them to attend a church with you that is not, you know, LGBTQ affirming or has, you know, some Bible passages you don't like, the kid's going to try to leave your house. That is where they're going with this. And eventually they're going to stop using LGBTQ people once they've established the legal precedent. And it's going to be my mom's making me go to a church I don't like. I want to be removed from her custody. That is what the whole purpose of the, even the use of the transgender, they're just using transgender kids. They want to be able to separate legal, liberal children from the custody of their conservative parents. It's a reign of terror. This is the legal precedent being set all over the country. Watch this. It is going exactly as I told you it was. It would when I told you they would use the right to self-identity this way. So folks texting in about the gender dysphoria. I don't know. Basically, we are now establishing legal precedent in America that American parents can lose custody of their children if they don't go along with the hormone treatments and gender reassignment that they want when they're minors. And the precedent for this has been set in courts, yes, but because the American Academy of Pediatrics just changed the standard of treatment from wait and see, which is what they've used. You know, we're not going to start the hormone blockers or do a gender reassignment surgery or only 15. Let's wait a year. Let's wait a couple of years to do whatever the kid wants. And so if the kid wants it, they call that gender affirmation. If the kids want it and mom doesn't want it and mom doesn't want to pay for it, guess what? You have to. Oh, when you lose custody of your child. So where they're going with this. Texter writes about this. Where did this go? Oh, why are kids allowed to make gender decisions but not allowed to buy alcohol or cigarettes? All are detrimental to adolescents. Yeah, you can put alcohol in your body if you're underage, but somehow you are smart enough in your mind to be able to consent to having your body permanently altered. You got me. Call Democrat Party headquarters. They'll explain it. Well, they'll try. It's insane. Texter writes, give your 10-year-old son a sip of beer, go to jail on a litany of charges of endangerment, refuse to give your 10-year-old son permanently physically altering chemicals, and go to jail on a litany of charges of endangerment. Yeah, pretty much that's it. Yeah, two thumbs up if that makes sense to you. Texter writes, hey, Tara, I'm from Spartanburg, and I want to say how proud I am that Chuck Wright is our sheriff, so says Donna. He's doing a great job advocating for trying to keep this intoxicated driver behind bars right now. All right, coming up on the show, do you remember the hysteria? And I remember because the media had some of you whipped up. And you remember all the people, the economists, the so-called economists, going on Fox News and CNBC and all those places, and they're holding up like soup cans because they're like, I don't know, aluminum. And saying nobody's going to be able to afford soup because of Trump's tariffs. And they had cans of beer and they were just frantic. I mean, people were going to starve because of the Trump tariffs. And the prices, remember, the prices were going to go through the roof. It's going to be terrible. The suffering would be unimaginable. Whatever happened with that? What happened to the prices? Were they right? I think you can guess where I'm going with this. You'll have to hang out till the next segment to find out how that story ended. I'll give you a hint, though, how the story ends. Despite all that hysteria, have you seen anybody lately on the television holding up a soup can? A beer can? Talking about how impoverished we'll be because of Trump's metals tariffs? You haven't, had you? Have you? That's strange. Wonder what's up with that. I'll explain. Coming up in our good news segment. Texter writes, in studies in Scandinavia, where they had access to everybody's medical records, 92% of kids who wanted to change their gender eventually changed their mind. By the way, folks, this is why Johns Hopkins, you ever heard of them? Pretty well known. They pioneered gender reassignment and hormone treatment. And after 30 years, they stopped doing it because of the devastating effect it had on their patients. It made them more likely to be suicidal, not less. That's some science for you. But of course, we don't take science into account when we're dealing with the liberal agenda, do we?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.